Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, running your business can be great fun, but it also can be exhausting. My next guest has published a book which looks at the emotional stress managers and business owners can be under. I'm delighted to welcome Andy Brown. He's the author of The Emotional Overdraft to the show. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And my emotional overdraft is slightly higher than it was because I'm using Skype for the first time in 4 years, but that's okay.
Well, you know what? If you want to get stressed, focus on the technology. You couldn't have said a truer word. Listen, Andy, the word emotional in the title of the book, the word of overdraft, overdraft in business, it probably has kind of negative connotations. Was there any subtlety around the choice of that word overdraft in the title of the book?
Yeah, so an emotional overdraft is the price you pay for subsidizing your business at the cost of your own mental or physical well-being.
Right.
So that's how I define it. It's that price we pay, the invisible line in your profit and loss, where you are subsidizing the business at your own expense. So I when I wrote the book, I liked the idea that, and certainly all the research suggested, there was there's a softer component to this, that how you feel about running your business or how you feel about leading people. But the overdraft component was, I think we all understand that's a sort of hard metric, financial metric. And conceptually, it's not a bad thing in itself, an overdraft, but you dip in and dip out. The bad thing is when you dip into your overdraft and stay there, that's expensive borrowing. So I like the idea of the feelings being borrowed against something, but could be paid back.
Okay. So what you're really saying here is that profits and success can come at a huge personal cost.
I think so, and that's not a particularly original thought. Maybe I'm saying my book's not very original, but I think giving it a name helps. I think labeling something helps. And the other thing is that it's an invisible. I'm a non-exec. I sit on boards all the time. We look at the P&L. We look at the financials. Bottom right-hand corner. There's the profit. And yet there's something in there, which is the cost to the people, the cost, the people that stopped taking exercise, the owner of a company that doesn't see their kids when they're growing up, all those sorts of things that we recognize, that isn't costed in anywhere because it's not a metric that the financial guys can put into the profit and loss.
Yeah.
So I thought that therefore it's missing. It's you see the profit figure, but you've got to take off that extra invisible cost. And then you go, well, are we really profitable? At what cost are we making a profit?
Well, maybe I could just share my own experience if it's helpful, Andy. I was involved in what was originally an SME and grew to a fairly decent business over 20, 25 years. But I remember being not profitable was hugely stressful. And when we got to making a profit, the release that came with that, I found that I now had a purpose because I could pay the wages every week. I found it doubly stressful working in a business that wasn't making money, if that's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about if you're making a profit, but of course, the times we live in, it's harder and harder to make a profit for lots of businesses. The costs are going up all the time. Staff are hard to find. It's incredible. And the pressure, if you run a business, the pressure on you when you're not making a profit, but the expectation. And this is the thing, what I identified when I did the research for the book was that there are 10 behaviors, or what I call drivers of founder and entrepreneur behavior, which don't help. And the really useful thing is that to get rid of an emotional overdraft means changing behavior. And that doesn't cost you anything. So even if you're not making a profit, you can start behaving in different ways. You can delegate more. You can start to trust your team better. You can look after yourself physically. There's lots and lots of things you can do. But if you're making a loss, it's doubly difficult. You feel all that pressure and responsibility of paying other people's mortgages. And if you have to, those conversations you have to have with people, you go for, maybe you accept business, which is, or clients who are less less profitable or smaller than ideal, and you don't make the money, but you just think we need something coming through the books. So you start making, I was going to say bad decisions. They're probably good decisions, but for the wrong reasons. And that's real pressure. And again, you take that home and it affects your family, it affects your friends, it affects your health.
Again, I'm not wanting to disagree with you here, but I would put it to you that in the early days of a business, that sometimes sacrifices on the home, on the personal, on those fronts, yep, that they do need to be made. And if you're not prepared to make them, I'm not sure that you, I agree that you can be a busy fool. I agree that you can, you know, employ people to do things and you don't have to be at every dogfight. But I do think there are occasions in the early days of a business that there's the owner, the proprietor has to be there.
I couldn't agree more, Bobby. And that's why I called this an overdraft. An overdraft is a good thing. You know, it's something that allows you to if you need a financial overdraft, allows you to buy the things you need in the short term, to allow for cash flow. It's a great facility, but it's not something you can, it's the most expensive borrowing you can get. And I think it's the same with an emotional overdraft. If you're starting a business, of course you've got to commit the hours. Of course you're not going to see your family as often. If you're still behaving that way when you're established, if you're still behaving that way out of habit, that's when it's not healthy for you, and that's when it starts to damage you. So totally right. I am absolutely not saying that you shouldn't be driven and that you're going to need to make sacrifices. But if that becomes habitual behavior, for want of behaving in a different way, then that's when the damage occurs. And you know, sometimes you can't see it. I spoke with a CEO who set up a business in the States, and it was really going well, but he was having panic attacks. He was blacking out. He went to the doctor, who told him he was ill. And he said, I'm not ill. Business is going great. I'm not stressed. I'm having an amazing time. He couldn't even recognize what was happening, but his body was shutting down. So I think, yes, you have to commit, but you also have to recognize that that can become, you know, checking your phone all the time at night, not being present for your family. These are things that become habitual. And you can design that out of the way you work. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy. I've set up my own businesses and run them and sold them. And I know the commitment, the sacrifice you have to make. And I've been there. But it's all I'm saying is you don't have to do it all the time. And you can change some behavior to reduce that level of stress and potential burnout.
Okay, well, I accept that completely, the way you say that. And you also say that myth number two is running a business is inherently stressful, that it's supposed to feel hard. Now, I think I'd agree with you here that there's a kind of a machoism sometimes that creeps into business, that you have to be, you know, fighting fires, you have to be swashbuckling through various situations. But again, you know, elongated or sustained use of that kind of behaviour is damaging.
You've nailed it, Bobby. That's exactly it. And that's why I call it an overdraft. Again, you can be in your overdraft, which is expensive borrowing for a short period of time financially. You can do the same thing emotionally or, you know, with your energy. But if you stick to that, if you're doing it all the time, you simply can't do it. And the feeling of lots of founders, you know, it's personal. It's their business baby. And they can't let go. They don't trust other people as much as they trust themselves. They wear all the hats. We've done it. You know, we've all done it. We wear all the hats when you start the company. And it's really difficult to let that go. But if you can't evolve beyond that, you're going to struggle to scale the business, because that's when you've got to be able to devolve responsibility to other people. You've got to do it in a sustainable way. And if you can't do that, then you're going to pay a price somewhere, physically or mentally, or your family will, or your society might.
Right. And finally, I wanted to discuss myth five with you, is that you must be empathetic to be a good leader. And I liked this one because, as you say, there's nothing wrong with being empathetic, and leaders should definitely be kind. But when empathy springs from a need to be liked or a yearning to belong, we're heading for trouble.
So right. I mean, people say to me, how can empathy be a bad thing? How can it be one of the drivers? But you've got it. It's when you want to be liked, when you are when you're sticking around late in the evening because your team are there and you think you're being supportive, as often as not, they're looking at you going, we can't go home till he goes home. There's this kind of strange. So being over empathetic or trying to be empathetic can actually be really harmful to you and to your team. So you're right. The desire to be liked is normal. It's human, but it's not always helpful. You need to be respected. You need to lead. And that's the distinction. You know, if you run a company, you need to lead. You need to show people what the best practice is. You need to have a vision for the business. You need to be clear about clarity is kindness. You know, you need to be clear about what it is that you're trying to achieve so that people can follow. What they don't want is another friend. They've got that somewhere else.
Yeah. And what ultimately your responsibility is to give them clarity and direction.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Okay. Well, look, it's a fascinating book. I was curious about the title, The Emotional Overdraft. The author is Andy Brown. It's a good read. Andy, thanks for joining us today.
Lovely talking to you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.